नाम विक्रमा प्रतिसंक्रमा इष्टापूर्तस्य कामयानां त्रिवर्गस्य च यो विधि।
Please explain unto me how the living beings are generated, how they are maintained, and how they are annihilated. Tell me also of the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service unto the Lord. What are the Vedic rituals and injunctions of the supplementary Vedic rites? And what are the procedures of religion, economic development, and sense satisfaction? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Samglavaha, in the sense of perfect means, is employed to denote the discharging of devotional service. And pratisamplavaha means just the opposite, or that which destroys the progress of devotional service. One who is firmly situated in the devotional service of the Lord can very easily execute the function of conditional life. Living the conditional life is just like plying a boat in the middle of the ocean. One is completely at the mercy of the ocean, and at every moment there is every chance of being drowned in the ocean by slight agitation. If the atmosphere is all right, the boat can ply very easily, undoubtedly. But if there is some storm, fog, wind, or cloud, there is every possibility of being drowned in the ocean. No one can control the whims of the ocean. However, one may be materially well equipped. One who has crossed the ocean by ship may have sufficient experience of such dependence upon the mercy of the ocean. But one can ply over the ocean of material existence by the grace of the Lord very easily, without any fear or storm or fog. It all depends on the will of the Lord. No one can help if there is some unfortunate danger in the state of conditional life. The devotees of the Lord, however, cross the ocean of material existence without anxiety, because a pure devotee is always protected by the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 9:13. The Lord gives special attention to His devotees in their activities within material conditional life. Bhagavad Gita 9:29. Therefore, everyone should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and be a pure devotee of the Lord by all means. One should know, therefore, from the expert spiritual master, the advantages and disadvantages of discharging devotional service. Just as Maharaj Parikshit asked his spiritual master, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service, one should not eat more than what he requires to maintain the body and soul together. Vegetable diets and milk are sufficient for maintenance of the human body, and therefore, one has no need of eating anything more to satisfy the palate. One should also not accumulate money to become puffed up in the material world. One should earn his livelihood easily and honestly, for it is better to become a coolie for an honest livelihood than to become a great man in society by hook and crook. There is no harm if one becomes the richest man in the world by honest dealings, but one should not sacrifice the honest means of livelihood simply to accumulate wealth. Such an endeavor is harmful to devotional service. One should not talk nonsense. A devotee's business is to earn the favor of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee should always glorify the Lord in his wonderful creations. A devotee should not decry the creation of the Lord, defying him by saying that he has created a false world. The world is not false. Factually, we have to take so many things from the world for our maintenance. So how can we say that the world is false? Similarly, how can one think of the Lord as being without form? How can one become formless and at the same time have all intelligence and consciousness, direct and indirect? So there are many things for a pure devotee to learn, and he should learn them perfectly from a bona fide personality like Shukadeva Goswami. The favorable conditions for discharging devotional service are that one should be very enthusiastic in serving the Lord. The Lord in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the cult of devotional service to the Lord to be preached all over the world, in every nook and corner. And therefore a pure devotee's duty is to discharge this order as far as possible. Every devotee should be very enthusiastic, not only in performing his daily rituals of devotional service, but in trying to preach the cult peacefully by following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If he is not superficially successful in such an attempt, he should not be deterred from the discharge of his duty. Success or failure has no meaning for a pure devotee because he is a soldier in the field. Preaching the cult of devotional service is something like declaring war against materialistic life. There are different kinds of materialists, such as the fruitive workers, the mental speculators, the mystic jugglers, and so many others. All of them are against the existence of Godhead. They would declare that they are themselves God, although in every step and in every action they are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, a pure devotee may not associate with such gangs of atheists. A strong devotee of the Lord will not be misled by such atheistic propaganda of the non-devotees. But a neophyte devotee should be very cautious about them. A devotee should see to the right discharge of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master and should not stick only to the formalities. Under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, one should see how much service is being executed and not simply in the matter of rituals. A devotee should not hanker after anything, but he should be satisfied with things that may automatically come to him by the will of the Lord. That should be the principle of a devotional life. And all these principles are easily learned under the guidance of a spiritual master like Shukadeva Goswami. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami correctly, and one should follow his example. Maharaj Parikshit inquired about the process of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world, the process of Vedic rituals, and the method of executing pious activities in terms of the supplementary Vedas like the Puranas and Mahabharat. As explained before, the Mahabharat is the history of ancient India, and so also are the Puranas. Pious acts are prescribed in the supplementary Vedas, Smritis, which specifically mention digging tanks and wells for the water supply of the people in general, to plant trees on the public roads, to construct public temples and places of worship of God, to establish places of charity where the poor destitutes can be provided with foodstuff, and similar activities are called purata. Similarly, the process of fulfilling the natural desires for sense gratification was also inquired about by the king for the benefit of all concerned. In this beautiful verse from the second canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is continuing his inquiries to Srila Shukadeva Goswami for the benefit of all living beings. The questions that Maharaj Parikshit asked to Shukadeva Goswami were very much praised by his spiritual master, because the subject matter of these inquiries are truly for the ultimate benefit of all living beings. Subject matter which pertains to the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, are meant for the purification of all those who hear and all those who speak these transcendental sound vibrations. In this human existence, it is the greatest responsibility to purify our hearts and realize our eternal nature in relationship with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And that is the real meaning of responsibility. On one occasion, devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is real responsibility?" And he explained, "The only true responsibility that we have as human beings is to realize God and to serve God." Sometimes materialistic people, due to being covered by the illusions of material ignorance, they accuse devotees of being irresponsible. Have any of you ever heard this before? That what about your responsibilities? You people are going to the temple so much. Some devotees are giving up their materialistic occupations. They're giving up all of their duties to their family, and they're coming to live in an ashram. And people are very, very quick to accuse that, what about your responsibilities in life? How can you behave so irresponsibly? And others are living within the congregation at home, and they are maintaining their families, but in a simple way. They are not just greedy and mad over more and more and more, but what comes by the grace of Krishna for the maintenance of their families, they accept gratefully. And they come to the temple sometimes every morning, or they have a temple at their home, and they're chanting japa for 2 hours a day and offering Mangal Arati and offering food and reading Srimad Bhagavatam and coming and doing seva. And people say, "Why you are acting so irresponsible? What about all your duties in life that you are neglecting?" But there is only one responsibility in this human form of life, and that is to perfect our existence by becoming Krishna conscious. And if we are not taking to that process, we are absolutely irresponsible. Even if every aspect of our material life, as far as family, occupation, society, political, so on and so forth, if every detail is executed with minute attention, if you are not chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, following the four regulative principles, reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day, you are simply an irresponsible, uncivilized animal. Hare Krishna. This is the declaration of God in the scriptures. Yani sha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. But Krishna warns us that what is day for the devotee of the Lord is night for a materialistic person. A materialistic person is always very wide awake to execute his material activities for the purpose of sense gratification. And he's very much sleeping to perfecting his own spiritual journey in life. Whereas a devotee is very happy to sleep to all these things of sense gratification. But he's very alert and wide awake to chant his rounds, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and to humbly serve Guru and the Vaishnavas, and to share that knowledge and that culture with the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aham Bija Pratapita. He is the Father of all living beings. And when he came to this world, he gave simple instructions to everyone. The Lord speaks through the spiritual master. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the original spiritual master, the original servant of the Supreme Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, as well as Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is the incarnation of Brahma, the great-great-grandfather of all living beings. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, the original Guru from whom everything emanates. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, you go to every house, to every shop, to every person you see on the side of the road, and you give them simply three instructions. Worship Krishna, chant the holy name of Krishna, and give this knowledge to others. That's all. Krishna is your treasure, Krishna is your wealth, Krishna is your very life and soul. Do not tell them anything else, just give them this gift. Worship Krishna, chant the holy name of Krishna. Give Krishna consciousness to others. The Supreme Lord, the original spiritual master of all living entities, has given everyone this responsibility. As far as how much money we have, what caste we're born in, what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of health we have, what sex our body is, how old we are, these things are all irrelevant spiritually. They have nothing to do with our constitutional position. The Varnashram system has been created by the Lord Himself so that according to our natural material condition of the qualities and the natural propensities for activities we have acquired from our previous karmas, that we utilize them all responsibly. But responsibly means it is all done in the service of the Lord. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi tadasi yat yat tapasya sikonteya tat kurushma darpanam. Everything we do, all sacrifices we may perform, all austerities, should all be done as an offering to Krishna. If Krishna is satisfied, samsidir hari toshanam, then our occupation is perfect. If Krishna is dissatisfied, shrameva hi kevalam, whatever we may have done is simply a waste of time. All of our spiritual advancement is exclusively dependent on to what extent we satisfy Krishna. And therefore the path of devotional service teaches us what Krishna likes, who Krishna is, and how we can satisfy him. And to understand these principles and to apply them to our life is responsibility. And anything else we do without this is simply irresponsible. It is simply a waste of life. Not only is it a waste of precious time, but it is degrading and contaminating, disservice to all existence. One may think he is very pious, very charitable. But if it's not done in Krishna consciousness, in devotion to God, with an understanding that I am the eternal servant of the Lord, It is simply propagating materialistic consciousness throughout the world. The first principle that we must understand is the distinction between the soul and God. Krishna is Purusha, and we are Prakriti. Purusha means the enjoyer. Prakriti means the enjoyed. We are meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. All existence and everything within it has been created for the satisfaction of the Lord. And all living entities, all species of life in all creation are simply emanations of the Lord created for His own satisfaction. And the most unnatural, polluted condition of artificial consciousness is when the living entity wants to be the enjoyer. When we want to exploit the resources of God's creation for our own sense gratification. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. Krishna explains, all things are my property and everything is meant for my satisfaction. But Krishna, who is Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, the best well-wishing friend of all living entities, he is willing to do anything for the satisfaction of those he loves. Bhakta Vatsal, Krishna becomes the servant of his devotee. Krishna will do anything to give happiness to his devotee, as he has demonstrated in so many ways through his various incarnations throughout histories. The Puranas are those histories which especially explain how the Lord reveals himself out of love for his devotee. And Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahapurana, because this particular Purana exclusively explains how the Lord reciprocates with the love of his devotee. How he will accept any burden upon himself to give pleasure to his devotee. And how his devotee is willing to sacrifice everything and anything for the satisfaction of the Lord. And that reciprocation is called love. And anything less than that is not love at all. The so-called love we talk about in this world is simply a mutual agreement for exploitation of one another. Whether it be on the physical level or the emotional level. But actual love is the natural energy of the soul expressing itself unconditionally for the pleasure and happiness in the service of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. That is love. And human life is meant to realize that love. Savai pung shang paro dharmo yatho bhakti radhokshaje ahoyti ki aprati hatha yagatma suprasidati. To love Krishna unconditionally and serve him accordingly is the supreme occupation for all humanity. And it is only that type of unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the Lord that we can find true satisfaction. That is the responsibility, the purpose of life. Materialistic people, they try to get more and more and more for themselves. But ultimately, what is the result? Srila Prabhupada explained how terrible Maya cheats such souls at the last phase of life. The example of Prabhupada said, Napoleon. He was a great conqueror. He was the greatest conqueror in the whole world at the time. All the world was trembling before him. He and his armies were marching and conquering and colonizing wherever they went. And at the end of his life, Prabhupada says, he was just on his deathbed about to die, a miserable person. He lost everything. His mouth was parched from thirst, and he asked, "Please give me some water." Just see, here is a man that conquered entire nations. Not only that, he was so powerful, he marched into Rome and went to the Vatican and ordered the Pope to make him the King of France and put crown on him. What could the Pope do? He had to follow what Napoleon had said. He was so powerful. And yet in his last days he had nothing. All he wanted is a little water. He wanted to conquer the world. And material nature brought him to such a condition where he had nothing. He was in exile. He was in prison. And he was asking, "Just give me some water." And they gave him a cup. And he was so happy to finally get some water. And he drank it. And it was the urine of a horse. He was frustrated, suffering. And then he died. That is material existence. And then we find Hitler. Srila Prabhupada explained how the world was trembling before him. All the biggest powers, the United States, Britain, France, they were all coming together. What are we going to do about this? He's going to destroy us all. And he was just marching with his armies and his artillery, just one country after another, conquering, 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 conquering. And at the end of his life, what did he have? He was hiding in a hole in the ground, hiding underground like a rat. And he committed suicide out of frustration. He lost everything. So this is material existence. We want to accumulate, we want to enjoy, but by the powers of material nature, everything is taken away. And these are the greatest enjoyers. The most powerful, prestigious, egoistic persons. Krishna consciousness is the sublime method of simple living and high thinking. To learn what is real happiness. Not to control nations, but to control your own mind and senses. That is a conqueror. Hiranyakashipu conquered the whole universe, but he was a miserable creature because he could not conquer his mind and senses. And how to conquer the mind and senses? Arjuna explains it is more difficult than conquering the wind. Krishna says, by serving me with constant practice and detachment, Krishna himself, by his mercy, Ragadvesha vimuktaishtu vishayanandriyaischaran atma vishaya vidhe atma prasadam arigachchati. By the Lord's mercy, if he sees you are sincere and humble in your attempt to serve him under the direction of his authorized devotee, Krishna himself will help you to control your senses and mind. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Krishna is Rishikesh. He is the Lord and Master of the senses. Krishna demonstrated the lifting of the Govardhan Hill so effortlessly, just to show us that if he wants to protect his devotee, he can do anything. Similarly, he can lift us from the onslaughts of our own material desires and the anartas, the unwanted pollutions of lust and anger and envy and greed and pride and illusion. These agents of Maya are conquering everyone, individually and collectively on an international scale. And the forces that induce such lower tendencies to become like fire, raging fire, are everywhere, all around us, within and without. But Krishna is all powerful. At Davanala Kund in Vrindavan, when there was fire all around his devotees, the Brijbasis, he simply, with one inhalation, he swallowed the entire fire within a moment. That is the power of Krishna. How to please Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the instruction. Worship Krishna and chant his holy names. Krishna will always protect his devotee. In this beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking so intimately. Not only the profound philosophy of the highest truths, but also his own direct experiences and realizations. He is explaining in this purport that this material existence is like an ocean. And we are all like a little boat in the middle of the ocean. And we are completely dependent on the particular mood of the ocean or the mercy of the ocean. Prabhupada explains, if there is a storm, or if there is fog or wind or a cloud, there is every possibility of being drowned in the ocean. No one can control the whims of the ocean, however one may be materially well equipped. One who has crossed the oceans by ship may have sufficient experience of such dependence on the mercy of the ocean. This material existence is filled with unlimited waves in the form of temptations, allurements, obstacles. Sometimes happiness, sometimes distress, sometimes success, and then the wave of failure pushes us down. The wave of good health and the wave of disease. The wave of honor and the wave of dishonor. In this way, the dualities of material existence are always keeping us under very, very tight grip of control. Sochati, kankshati. We are always, due to the modes of material nature in this ocean, we are always longing and hankering, aspiring to get something we do not have, and lamenting for what we lose. And even when we have something, we're always fearing that lamentation of losing it. So there is no peace. How to cross over this ocean of material existence? Due to the condition of storms, fogs, clouds, and winds, we are actually in a very, very helpless, dependent condition. It is a fact. We may be doing very nice in our spiritual lives, but if through the powers of material nature there is a shift, we can be just drowned in this ocean. We could fall down in a second. Srila Prabhupada warned us, if you are not chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively every day, at any moment you will fall victim to Maya. You will be drowned in this ocean of material existence. Srila Prabhupada put great emphasis. If you do not want to fall in this ocean of material existence, you chant 16 rounds every day, you follow the four regulative principles carefully, you keep the association of devotees, and you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, he had direct experience of what it is to be on a little tiny boat in the middle of the ocean. It's a very, very difficult situation. As he was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, when a storm comes, what can you do? You can't just decide, let's go home. Let's stop here for some time and wait till the storm is over. You're in the middle of the ocean. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to turn to. At night, if you look north, south, east, or west, all there is empty darkness. But worse than that, north, south, east, and west, as far as your eyes can see, all there is the ocean. And when the waves get large and the winds begin to blow and the storm starts coming down and it's fog, you cannot see where you are, who you are, what you are. What is your condition? You are helpless. You are hopeless. In that condition, with all the terrible storms, Srila Prabhupada, 2 heart attacks, seasickness. For those of you who know what seasickness is, it's worse than death. Nausea, dizziness. Your whole system becomes completely disoriented. He couldn't even write in that condition. He understood, I'm in the middle of a vast ocean of material existence on this little helpless boat, completely depending on the mercy of the ocean to get by. And in that situation, he took shelter of reading of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent, the most merciful of all incarnations. And he took shelter of the chanting of Krishna's holy names. And then he had a vision, a divine vision, where Lord Sri Krishna appeared to him on a boat in the ocean. And on that boat, along with Krishna, was all the various incarnations of Krishna. And they revealed to Srila Prabhupada that now we are taking over your successful journey across the Atlantic Ocean. And when Srila Prabhupada saw that Krishna had come, he took shelter of Krishna. He prayed to Krishna. He chanted the name of Krishna. And Krishna, who is none different than his name, he always protects his devotee. Krishna descended and personally revealed to Srila Prabhupada how he was there to protect him on every level. And as soon as that dream ended, the storms were finished, the fog cleared, the waves subsided, and the whole Atlantic Ocean was very friendly and nice. And when they came to Boston Harbor and then New York City, the captain, Mr. Pandey, told Srila Prabhupada, in the whole history of my sailing, and he was an older man who was a captain of ships for so many decades, he said, we have never seen the Atlantic Ocean so nice, so peaceful, so accommodating. Because Krishna is the controller of material nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacha. Maya is like a vast ocean, but Krishna is the controller of Maya. Therefore, there is absolutely no means or hope of crossing this ocean of material existence except getting the mercy of Krishna. This is the prime duty and responsibility of all human beings. Samashita ye padapalavaplavam. That this material existence is a place where there is danger at every step. We must keep our goal always Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And if we follow the orders of the spiritual masters who are representing Krishna with humility and devotion, then Krishna, by his unlimited inconceivable power will take the entire vast unlimited ocean of material existence and reduce it to the size of the water contained within the hoof print of a small calf. And we will easily cross beyond it. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evamye papadyante tamstadaiva bhajamya. Krishna explains that this material nature, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is simply impossible to overcome. But one who seeks shelter of my lotus feet can easily cross beyond it. So let us never, ever, for even a moment in our life, allow our mind to wander away from our real responsibility to accept the treasure of devotional service from the Lord by keeping always within the association of his devotees, by hearing his glories, by living a simple life for his pleasure, for his satisfaction, and by helplessly and sincerely calling out his holy name. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
In the translation, Shukdev Goswami is asking about advantages and disadvantages of the devotional service. Are there any he's asking about advantages and disadvantages of the devotional service. Are there any disadvantages also?
Disadvantages means the obstacles. The obstacles that come on the path of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains this in his purport.
Rupa Goswami has said that a devotee does all his activities with utmost precision and perfectness. So how are we supposed to look at this instruction as far as our material activities are concerned?
You should not engage in any materialistic activities. Material means separate from Krishna. Spiritual means with consciousness of Krishna. Anything done in Krishna consciousness or in the service of the Lord is spiritual. And anything done in forgetfulness of the Lord is material. So Rupa Goswami explains that everything we do should be for Krishna. We should offer the fruits of all of our activities to Krishna. Even if you have a materialistic job, apparently, if you're performing that job to utilize the fruits of that work for Krishna, and you have very good sadhana and very good satsang, so you're performing it in Krishna consciousness, then it is not material. Anything we do in our devotional service to Krishna should be done with great attention and care. Nothing should be done half-heartedly. Nothing should be done inattentively or recklessly, because everything we are doing, we are making in our offering to the Lord. Grihasthas are especially recommended to worship the deity, just to train their consciousness to very carefully worship the Lord. When you're doing deity worship, you have to take bath. You have to perform achman. If you touch anything, you have to put water on your hands to purify yourself. You have to be very conscientious, thinking of the rules and regulations of that deity worship. In this way, you're being trained to think how attentive and meticulously aware your consciousness must be to please Krishna. At every second, when you're offering arti, with every article you're offering, along with it is a mantra. Mula mantra, you chant, along with what you're offering often. When you're worshiping the deity by bathing, everything you're offering him, you're offering a mantra with it. and you're doing it in a very prescribed, regulated way. Why? Just to completely absorb your consciousness in doing it properly for Krishna's satisfaction. And in this way, our mind and senses are being trained to be so alert, aware, and attentive in our service. And then we should extend that same consciousness in everything we do. Because for a devotee, everything is puja. Everything is the worship of the deity. And we should wash it in such a way that every stroke of my hand is an offering to Krishna. And if I do it with proper awareness and attention, Krishna will be pleased. If we're distributing books, while we're distributing those books, we should actually be thinking every word I am speaking, my behavior, everything is simply meant for the satisfaction of Guru and Krishna. We should be so attentive, to be so exemplary. When we're putting on tilak, we're chanting a mantra and putting that tilak on in such a way for the pleasure of Krishna. When you're taking a bath, anything you do, even the smallest thing, should be done in Krishna consciousness. We should not let one moment be lost without Krishna consciousness, because that is the greatest loss. And therefore, under the direction of the great souls, we must be trained. If we think we can just prematurely be spontaneous lovers of God, we will simply be doomed. Because we do not have that spontaneous love. We will be careless. That spontaneous love comes when our heart is completely purified by tremendous austerity of the awareness of always being the humble servant of the Lord in every act, every thought, and every word of our life. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Maharaj, talking about the responsibilities, specifically taking the example of grasta life, it has been practically been seen in our movement also, that when a grasta goes in a very, very dashing note in spiritual life, and afterwards he is not able to maintain the taste in Krishna consciousness, and in the beginning he is compromising all his economical things also, and after that, if he is not able to maintain that standard, he becomes so frustrated that he goes away from spiritual life. At the same time, the economical backing is also not there. He goes away altogether from spiritual life. So is it not so that a grasta, to have a very, very sound and a very secure spiritual life, it is better to have economical backing in a nice way, so that in future, if at all something goes shaky way also, or is not able to maintain that standard, high standard, he will not be frustrated and he doesn't go away from spiritual life altogether. Can you just elaborate on that?
Krishna explains that this path is not for one who eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or sleeps too little. One must be regulated. And each ashram teaches us a particular type of lifestyle by which we are regulated. Brahmachari lifestyle means you don't have anything except service to your guru. There's nothing else. If you want something else, you must get married. If you want to be a brahmachari, you have nothing but seva. No independence as far as what you like to do. You can say, I would like to do this, but ultimately the scriptures say, you cannot even eat until your guru says, eat. That is brahmachari. It's a blissful, wonderful life if you have that inclination. But there's regulation. And the grihastha ashram is also regulated. You may have your home and you may have your family and you may have your occupation by which you maintain your family. But you keep everything centered around Krishna. The deity is in your home. and you make Krishna the proprietor of your home, and you make the whole family aware that Krishna is our goal in life. Service to Krishna is the function of our existence. And you're very charitable, and you're very respectful and willing to serve the sadhus, and you're very compassionate to those who are in need. This is grihastha life, a simple life. Srila Prabhupada explains here, we should not be greedy in the grihastha ashram to accumulate more and more and more. We should be satisfied with a simple livelihood and utilize our precious time as much as possible for devotional service, for preaching Krishna consciousness to others. And that is the proper balance. And we need guidance to make that proper balance. If you become so enthusiastic that you neglect the basic principles of your economic needs, then you are not actually performing your duty properly. But if you become so much attentive to your economic needs that you neglect your spiritual requirements, then that is even a worse situation. So we must be exemplary in the household ashram. And that means a proper and perfect balance. And if we are in the society of devotees, that becomes a very reasonable and very practical way of life. But if grihasthas think, I have so many responsibilities, and I have my wife, and I have my husband, and I have my children, how can I chant my 16 rounds? How can I read Srimad Bhagavatam? How can I come and do seva for the temple? I have so much to do. If that is our situation, then unfortunately our human life is being spoiled. At the same time, if we're doing so much for the temple and so much chanting and so much everything, that our children are starving and neglected and crying, why I never see my father or mother, why they hate me, then we're not performing our duty. All your chanting and will not be pleasing to Krishna unless you have the proper understanding of what it means to serve Him and what your duties are to serve Him. So yes, if we go too far either way in the grihastha ashram, we cannot sustain our spiritual lives. We have seen over the years grihasthas that try to do so much, and they're so negligent of their families that after some years, their children are against them, there's divorces and everything, and then they just can't even think about Krishna. And we see others that are so attentive to give nice clothes and nice comforts and nice house to their wife and their children and their husband and everything else, that they're not associating with devotees properly, they're not coming for the Mangal Artis, they're not worshiping the Lord, they're not chanting their rounds according to their vows, that soon they just have all material things and they're completely empty and vacant spiritually. They cannot remember Krishna and they start committing offenses and criticizing because they have no mercy of the Lord. So therefore we need spiritual guidance to help us to be Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.